Hey, Richard, you're live.
Great, thank you. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the public and welcome to my fellow board members. Before we get started, we obviously want to wish everyone that they're safe and healthy out there. We certainly understand that these are definitely different times, and that's first and foremost. And we wanted, on behalf of the board, to wish everyone out there health and safety. This is a Board of Adjustments meeting starting on July 10th, 2020 at 9 a.m. We are appearing via electronic means due to the pandemic and social distancing. Today we have a full board minus one board member. Do we want to quickly just take attendance to go ahead and acknowledge everyone on the board that's here?
Yes, that would be great. I'll call out all the members of the board so that you can say if you're here or not. Andres Acion is not here yet.
I'm here.
Oh, you're here? Okay. Oh, great. So Andres Acion is here. Richard Barron?
Present.
Yahil Cement?
Present.
Morning.
Michael Goldberg?
Good morning. Here.
Joy Malakoff?
Here.
James Orlowski?
Here.
And Richard Siegel?
Present.
All righty. Welcome, everybody.
Thank you. Do we have any modifications, changes, or anything that anyone on the board would like to say regarding the prior minutes from our last meeting, which took place a little while ago on February 7th, 2020? If not, do I have an approval of the minutes from someone on the board?
So moved.
Thank you, Commissioner Malakoff. Is there a second?
I'll second that, James Orlowski.
Thank you, Mr. Orlowski. Moving on, Mr. City Attorney, are there any updates for today?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Siegel. I have a couple of updates. Sorry, what's that?
For the minutes, do we need to have a roll call for the approval? Or can we show by acclamation?
I think we can show by acclamation unless anybody planned on dissenting from the motion.
I need to abstain. I was not at that meeting. I was not on the board yet, so I cannot vote for it.
If you're here, you've got to vote.
Okay. Well, I wasn't sure because I wasn't there. Okay. That's fine. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. So you can show that no one was opposed.
Okay.
Okay. I have a couple announcements to make. Good morning, members of the board, members of the public, and planning department staff. Today's virtual meeting of the Board of Adjustment has been scheduled pursuant to Executive Order 20-69 of the Florida Governor, which suspends any Florida statute that requires a quorum to be present in person or requires a local government body to meet at a specific public place, and permits local government bodies to utilize communications media technology. In order to participate in today's meeting, the public can dial 1-877-853-5257, and the webinar ID is 847-6359-4345#. Or the public can log into the Zoom app and enter the webinar ID, which again is 847-6359-4345. Members of the public wishing to speak on an item must click the raised hand icon if using the Zoom app, or press *9 on their phones to raise their hands. Members of the public who do not have access to a computer and wish to provide testimony and or submit evidence in support of or opposition to an item scheduled to be heard today may appear in person at the Miami Beach Convention Center at 1901 Convention Center Drive at the Washington Avenue entrance, Art Deco Room 229 in Miami Beach, at which location access to a computer will be provided. On each quasi-judicial application today, I'll swear in each presenter for the record or member of the public wishing to speak. I'll be keeping time at today's meeting. Applicants will be given 10 minutes each to present, and members of the public will be given 2 minutes each. Lastly, I'd like to read the city's notice regarding lobbyist registration. If you're appearing on behalf of a business, a corporation, or another person, you need to register as a lobbyist with the city clerk's office. If you haven't registered yet, you should register before you speak to the board. You don't have to register as a lobbyist if you're speaking only on behalf of yourself and not any other party, or if you're testifying as an expert witness providing only scientific, technical, or other specialized information or testimony in this public meeting, or if you're appearing as a representative of a neighborhood association without any compensation or reimbursement for your appearance, to express support of or opposition to any item. Expert witnesses and representatives of neighborhood associations shall, prior to appearing, disclose in writing to the city clerk their name, address, and the principal on whose behalf they are communicating. If you're an architect, attorney, or employee representing an applicant or an objector, you must register as a lobbyist. These rules apply whether you're appearing in favor of or against an item, or encouraging or arguing against its passage, defeat, modification, or continuance. And before we get to our agenda, I'd just like to swear in any members of staff who will be providing testimony today. So please state affirmatively whether you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
Okay, thank you. And I think first up on our agenda is, after the approval of the minutes, is the election of the chair and vice chair.
I would like to nominate Richard Siegel.
Okay, for the position of chair?
For the position of chair.
Okay, are there any other nominations?
I'll second that nomination.
Are there any other nominations for chairperson of the Board of Adjustment? Okay, seeing none, I'd like to ask staff to call the roll, and each member of the board can state their vote affirmatively.
Andres Acion?
Yes.
Richard Barron?
Aye.
Yahil Cement?
Yes.
Michael Goldberg?
Yes.
Joey Malakoff?
Yes.
James Orlowski?
Yes.
Richard Siegel?
Yes, and thank you very much. Very humbled.
Congratulations. And do we have any nominations for the position of vice chair?
If Mr. Barron would like it, based off of tenure, I would recommend Richard Barron.
Okay, are there any other nominations? Okay, Mr. Chair, would you like to move Mr. Barron's nomination, and then we'll see if we have a second?
I'll second Mr. Barron's nomination.
Okay.
That was James Orlowski.
And staff, can you call the roll?
Andres Sassion?
Yes.
Richard Barron?
Yes.
Yahil Cement?
Yes.
Michael Goldberg?
Yes.
Joey Malakoff?
Yes.
James Orlowski?
Yes.
Richard Siegel?
Yes.
Alrighty, congratulations to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
With that being said, now that we've had that discussion item, Mr. City Attorney, would you go ahead and swear in the public so we can proceed with the matters that are set to be heard today?
So, Mr. Chair, what we've been doing on these virtual meetings is a quick swearing in of each individual presenter and member of the public, so that we have their oaths on the record. Otherwise, we might not be able to record everyone taking their oaths.
To be clear, we'll do that for each application. We'll swear them in right before we go ahead and take the application.
That's correct.
Okay, understood. With that being said, is there any request for continuance or withdrawals today?
We have no request for continuances or withdrawals.
Are there any requests for extensions of time?
We have no requests for extensions of time.
Other than what we've already heard, is there anything that we need to discuss for progress reports?
No, sir.
Okay, with that being said, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's time now that we proceed forward with ZBA 20-0107, which is a modification of a previously approved board order regarding 6001 North Bay Road. Do we have the applicant here today?
I believe the architect representing the applicant is here. So I can go ahead and proceed with staff's recommendation, and then we can move on to the applicant's presentation, if that's okay with the chair.
Okay. And I would just appreciate for whoever's going to speak to be sworn in before they speak.
Okay. We'll do so. So as soon as they start, I guess Nick, before each person speaks, we'll do a swearing in just to make
that's
sure.
That's right. I'll take care of that. Yeah.
Okay, so let me go ahead and start off with the presentation. This is file number ZBA 20-0107. It is for 6001 North Bay Road. This is a request for a modification to three previously approved variances that required that reduced the required street side setback, reduced the sum of side yard setbacks, allowed the exceeding of the maximum lot coverage, and this was in order to construct a one-story addition to an existing single-family home. So specifically, the applicant is requesting design changes to the previously approved facade. The applicant is not requesting any modifications to the actual variances themselves. The setbacks and lot coverage will not be changing as a result of this request. The variances were originally approved by the Board of Adjustment on April 7th, 2017. On December 11th, 2019, the applicant submitted plans for a building permit. That permit is currently under review, but has not been issued in part because the facade is inconsistent with the plans that were originally approved by the Board of Adjustment. So the site, the subject site, just to refresh the memory of the board, if anybody was on at the time, is in a regular corner lot, has an existing two-story residence constructed in 1951. So the proposed modification would reduce the amount of fenestration on the south and west facades of the addition. So the modification will provide the applicant with more usable interior space by reducing the window area. Now, the reduction in the window area has the potential to create some visual impacts on the surrounding neighborhood, in particularly along 60th Street, which is closer to the right-of-way as a result of the variances that were approved. However, there's currently a tall and continuous ficus hedge, which blocks the views to that facade. So the staff has incorporated a modified condition to the draft order, which requires that hedge be replaced with comparable hedge should it be damaged or succumb to disease. And with that, staff recommends that the requested modification be approved subject to the conditions in the attached draft order.
Thank you for that analysis very much. At this time, should we hear from what I believe is the architect for the applicant? The applicant is Jack Finglass, and I believe we have in front of us today the architect.
Yes.
And before the applicant makes his presentation, I'd just like to swear you in. Can you state for the record whether you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. You have 10 minutes for your presentation.
Good morning. My name is Ira Giller. I'm president of Giller & Giller Architects, and I represent the applicant. First off, I'd like to say congratulations to Michael Goldberg on his appointment. Very first city board I served on, I served with Michael's father on the Board of Adjustment many, many, many years ago. As to today's application, it's very short and to the point. We have processed through the building department plans for this very minor addition, which you would see on, if we can have the visuals, on slide number two. There we go. In green is a 277 square foot addition onto the existing residence, which my father designed back in 1951. It was approved for the variances, as the staff noted, and we're in for a building permit. Actually, the permit process is not being held up on account of this hearing, but rather it can be approved with the elevation that we submitted. After we were going through the process, the applicant realized that his collection of architectural books would not all fit in the proposed addition and wanted to have more wall space for the bookshelves. So we've come up with a modification to the windows and only the windows in this request that's before you. If I could have the next slide, please. As you can see here, in the plan on the right is what's already been approved, and it shows four windows all the way around this new den with bookshelves below the windows. The plan on the left shows smaller windows that are raised up higher, so we've got continuous bookcases all the way around. Next slide, please. In this elevation, you see the small squares that are being added as the new proposed windows. On the top, you see the elevation from 60th Street with the addition on the right, and the front door in the middle. On the plans down below, You see the proposed window fenestration as well. If we go to the next slide. This was what was previously approved, and you can see the windows were continuous all the way across. So from a perspective of the project and the variance application that we're asking for today, it's not a significant variance. As staff pointed out, there is a full ficus hedge around the property. If we can go down to the next slide, or the next three or four slides till we get to the photographs. Next. 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 There you go. So you can see the ficus hedge that covers the entirety of the 60th Street frontage and a good portion of the North Bay Road frontage as well. As you can also see in the slide on the in the center left, to the left is the area of the addition itself, and to the and also you see it in the upper left. There's one small hedge currently there that will be removed. The addition will fill into place. Other than that, the property itself is very well landscaped, and in fact, one of the conditions that we would like to have waived in the order or the proposed order would be to go through providing a full landscape plan, having a landscape architect, and having a tree arborist survey everything that's on property. We're really not disturbing any of the lush landscaping. It's a single family home. That's a 277 square foot addition. So that's what we would request. That's the long and short of the proposal. There are some of the small square windows that are part of the original design. If we could go back up, if we can go back in the presentation, you'll see that. So it's a vocabulary that already exists in the house, and it's really not a significant change to the architecture. With that, that's the extent of my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions and respond to any concerns anybody may have.
Thank you very much. Do we have any questions from the board? And then also after that, I guess we will go ahead and see if there's anyone from the public that wants to speak on this matter.
And Mr. Chair, before we open to the public, I just wanted to ask the board members, if any board members have any disclosures to make on this application. Okay, I see none.
I just wanted to disclose that I've been friends with Mr. Giller's daughter for many years, but I can remain impartial on this issue.
Thank you, Mr. Orlowski. Does any board member have any questions for Mr. Geller before we see if there's anyone from the public that wants to speak on this matter?
Mr.
Barron, why don't we just do it based off of this? There's a raising of hands that can be done through Zoom. I saw that Commissioner Malikoff has raised her hand, so I'll acknowledge her, and then we'll proceed to you and others who have raised their hand, if you don't mind. Commissioner Malikoff? You're muted.
Okay. Am I unmuted now?
Yes. Please proceed.
In the past, I've noticed that this home has been for sale. And my question is, assuming that the home at some point is going to be sold, will this hedge requirement, which is very important because to have almost a blank wall facing the street, it would not be very good for the street. Is there a covenant that'll run with the property to ensure that such a hedge will continue, whether it's ficus or some other type of foliage?
The board order will be recorded on the property, and the board order has the conditions which whoever owns the property, whether it's Mr. Finglass or anybody else, will have to abide by those conditions. So if at some point code enforcement sees that the hedge is not there, or a neighbor calls and says the hedge is not in good shape, code enforcement can go out and take action on that and ensure that the hedge is restored and maintained.
Thank you.
And that's acceptable to the owner.
Mr. Barron, did you have a question?
I did have a question. Mr. Gilley, you had asked that the revised landscaping plan not become part of the required order. Does that include all the subparts under that paragraph four, including submitting a tree protection plan and the like?
Yes. A particular concern is subparagraph A, C, and D. Recognizing that this is an existing single-family home with a mature landscaping already in place, that those simply would not be required.
Is it your representation that none of those trees will be touched that are on the property? They'll remain.
That's correct.
What's your objection? So, just so I understand, what's your objection to submitting a tree protection plan? Is that burdensome on the owner?
Well, it is burdensome on the owner from a cost-wise. It also requires bringing in a certified tree arborist to examine each of the trees and write a report on it, and maintain a report. And then it also requires that a landscape architect be hired to document all of the landscaping that exists on the property. Given the size of the variance that we're asking for, I think it's a bit onerous.
Thank you.
I would just like to add, even if that condition is not there, those are requirements of the city code. Both Chapter 46, which talks about tree protection and is outside of the land development regulations and the purview of this board, and there are requirements for landscaping in the zoning ordinance in Chapter 126. So those are requirements of the code. Those are requirements that cannot be waived, even if those conditions are not included in the board order.
We're not asking to waive the landscaping requirements. The landscaping that's there already meets the requirements. There's quite a bit of money to be expended in documenting all of the lush landscaping that's already there. And that's what we're asking for a waiver on.
So the tree protection ordinance is in Chapter 46. So that has no provisions for variances. So even if that were not in this order, that would still have to be complied with.
We could accept that. We would protect the trees in the immediate area of the construction. There obviously are not, except for the ficus hedge, there are no trees in the area of the addition.
I guess what I'm trying to, I don't think that removing that condition waives you from the requirement of having to provide the survey.
Well, as I read it, the survey is not mandatory. The tree protection is. So we would agree to the tree protection, and we're asking for a waiver on doing a tree survey on the whole property for 277 square foot addition.
I think the point staff is making is that requirement applies regardless. These are standard conditions.
Mr. City Attorney, correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm understanding staff and yourself. 4A through L, it's based off of what I've been hearing, but that's not even a requirement that the board should be entertaining that could be waived, because it's the basis for doing it is not waivable. It's not a matter for the board to decide one way or the other if 4 could be removed for purposes of modifying the order. Is that correct?
That's right.
That's, yep.
Okay. So, Mr. Geller, this is Mr. Siegel speaking. I'll close it back to you. I understand in your presentation you tried to say that you would like to see a modification from the proposed order so that there would not be a full landscaping plan required. It seems that we're hearing on the behalf of the board from staff and the city attorney that is not a modification that would be acceptable to the Board of Adjustments and to the city. Is that something that your client and the applicant are willing to accept, even though in the presentation you're asking for a modification?
Well, perhaps the board could pass it, and I could get together with staff afterwards. If there is a way of waiving it, fine. If not, we'll accept that that's what it has to be.
But for purposes of today, if we were going to vote in your favor, we are going to include in it a landscaping plan. And I just want to make sure you understand that, because there was a request for a modification.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Let me just see if there's any other questions for my board members. Mrs. Malikoff, Commissioner Malikoff, you still have your hand raised. I just don't know if that's because it hasn't been removed, but do you have a follow-up question? Commissioner Malikoff, your microphone is still muted.
I have no other questions.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner. With no further questions and seeing none, no hands raised from my fellow board members, Mr. City Attorney, I'd like to open it up to see if there's anyone in the public that wants to comment on this application.
Okay. And each speaker will have two minutes. Oh, you know what? I think Mr. Orlowski got pulled over to the public side. Can we bring him back?
Yeah, my home internet went out for a moment.
Okay, we're going to move you back over. Are there any other members of the public who'd like to speak on this item? I see no other members of the public.
Okay, with no further comment from the public and no additional comments from the board, I'm ready for the board to go ahead and vote on this matter. Is there a motion out there?
Mr. Chairman, I move that the application be approved subject to the conditions enumerated in the attached proposed order.
Thank you, Mr. Barron. Do I have a second?
Second. You feel cement.
Thank you, Mr. Cement. I'd like to go ahead and now take a vote on the board.
Andre Estacion?
Yes.
Richard Barron?
Yes.
Yahil Cement?
Yes.
Michael Goldberg?
Yes.
Joy Malikoff?
Yes.
James Orlowski?
Yes.
Richard Siegel?
Yes. So it passes with unanimous consent. Congratulations, and we look forward with you working with staff and finishing out this project.
Thank you. Congratulations on your chairmanship.
Thank you very much. That looks like that completes any modifications that we have today, and I'd like to move on now to new applicants. It seems as if the first application is ZBA 19-0095, which is 607 Fifth Street. Do I have the applicant here before us today?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Juan Carlos Planas. I am the attorney for the applicant, AltMed Plants of Ruskin.
Great, thank you. Can you give me your last name again and cut out?
Planas, P as in Peter, L-A-N-A-S.
Thank you, Mr. Planas.
Mr.
City Attorney, yes, would you like to swear him in, please?
Sure. He's appearing as counsel. You're appearing as counsel today, right?
I am.
Okay, is anyone appearing on behalf of your client who will be providing testimony?
No, I have pictures that I emailed yesterday that I also have here, so if you'd like to swear me in just in case.
Okay. Can you say whether you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
No, I do.
Okay, thank you. And then, Mr. Chair, I think we need staff to introduce the item.
Yes, understood.
Okay, so I'll go ahead and get started. So this is file number ZBA 19-0095 for 607 Fifth Street. Is an application requesting a variance to reduce the required 1,200-foot distance separation between a proposed medical cannabis treatment center and an approved medical cannabis treatment center. The subject site consists of an existing one-story retail building that was constructed in 1993 at the northwest corner of the intersection of Washington Avenue with Fifth Street. The applicant is proposing a medical cannabis treatment center within one of the retail bays of this retail building. On May 23rd, 2018, building permit plans were submitted for the interior alteration of the retail space. On March 11th, 2019, the applicant revised the building permit plans to indicate that it would be for a medical cannabis treatment center. At that time, the applicant was notified that a survey would be required to confirm whether the location complied with the distance separation requirement. They provided a specific purpose survey, and with that, it was determined that the site was located within 425 feet of an approved medical cannabis treatment center, which is located at 550 Collins Avenue, less than a block away. As a result, the revisions to the building permit could not be issued. The applicant also applied for a business tax receipt for a medical cannabis treatment center, and that was denied as well. Through Ordinance 2019-4247, which was adopted on February 13, 2019 and became effective on February 23rd, the City Commission wanted to ensure that there would not be an overconcentration of medical cannabis dispensaries or pharmacy stores in any of the areas where this use is allowed. The city has certain districts where medical cannabis treatment centers and pharmacy stores are allowed. And so the applicant's proposal for the medical cannabis treatment center was presented after that ordinance became effective. Because it was presented after that ordinance became effective, we feel that it is not a practical difficulty or a hardship. Since the ordinance was intended to prevent the clustering and concentration of medical cannabis treatment centers and pharmacy stores, that variance is not in harmony with the general intent and purpose of that ordinance, as it does the exact opposite. And then the site or the building neither have any peculiar conditions which limit the ability to accommodate other permissible uses. The space is zoned for commercial use, has been used for commercial purposes in the past. So there are no special conditions or circumstances which are peculiar to the land, structure, or building involved, and which are not applicable to other land structures or buildings in the same zoning district. The literal interpretation of provisions of the land development regulations do not deprive the applicant of rights commonly enjoyed by other properties in the same zoning district, and they don't cause any unnecessary or undue hardship on the applicant. So with that, staff recommends that the variance be denied.
Thank you very much. Do I have any disclosures from the board before we proceed with having Mr. Planas go ahead and provide his position on behalf of the applicant?
I know Mr. Planas, but he has not called me, or we have not spoken about this, and I haven't spoken to him in a while, but I do know who he is.
Thank you, Mr. Acion. Anyone else on the board? Ms. Malakoff, I see that your hand's raised.
Yes, I'm very familiar with Mr. Planas. He's helped me in the past as a commissioner, but I've had no discussions with him about this item.
Thank you, Mrs. Malakoff. Any other disclosures from the board? Having seen none, Mr. Planas, the floor is yours. It's my understanding that you have 10 minutes.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. This is very, very simple. The way Miami Beach's ordinance reads is no medical cannabis treatment center shall be located within 1,200 feet of another. It doesn't say permitted. It doesn't say whether or not the city gives permits at a certain time. It says located. This is the problem that the city has. Number one, our application for building permit was turned in before the other. Yes, our contractor did not specify until later on that it was a medical marijuana. The problem is, as it currently stands, there is no medical marijuana cannabis treatment center within 1,200 feet. The address that is given as for denying ours is it's the MedMen facility at
550 Collins Avenue.
Okay. I presented pictures yesterday, but I'll show you right now. This is currently 550 Collins MedMen. And as you see on there, there is a special type of key box on the entrance. That is what is provided for realtors to lease the buildings. I provided other documentation to the city and to the board about MedMen's financial difficulties. Let's make one thing clear. MedMen is in serious financial straits. They have not opened, even though they have been licensed, quote unquote, for more than a year. They have yet to open. Everything suggests that they will not open. The sign of the key box, picture taken yesterday, indicates that someone is trying to rent that facility. And therefore, there is no medical cannabis distribution center located within 1,200 feet. Whether or not the city gave them a permit and permitted them at this point after a year is irrelevant now because of the fact that they have shown no ability to open. Now, staff, and I've had conversations with the city attorney. My client is also in litigation with the city over the ordinance, something we would like not to have to do. The issue here is MedMen cannot sell their license with the city. This is a use. It can't be sold. It's if you don't use it, you lose it. Basically, that's the way permitting works in municipalities. So wanted to put another business there, they'd have to reapply, regardless of whether it was the same business or not. At this point, given that all of the evidence is strongly, strongly suggesting that MedMen will likely not be in operation within the end of the year. And I've provided, I think, three articles at this point, including one yesterday, to the city showing the deep, deep financial circumstances that MedMen is in. I think the only prudent thing to do by this board is to basically instruct staff to allow our opening. I don't think legally a variance is the issue, because a variance would mean that there is an existing cannabis distribution center, but there's not. So legally speaking, I think the board can instruct and can find, because this is a quasi-judicial proceeding, the board can find that because no use is there and because there is no existing facility, that the ordinance does not apply, and instruct staff to permit our application to move forward.
Thank you, Mr. Planis. Do you have anything further? Otherwise, I'm going to open it up to the board for discussion.
I'll leave it open. I'm sure some may have questions.
Are there any questions from the board?
I have a question too.
If you don't mind, let's just do the hand raising. I saw Ms. Malikoff, her hand was raised first. So Commissioner Malikoff, if you may proceed, please.
I'd like to hear from the city attorney. Hey, the truth, Mr. Chair. I heard of the commission when we passed that regulation, and I think the 1,200-foot separation is very important. When Mr. Planis discussed the difference between location and permitting, et cetera, I thought he was splitting hairs. I understand what he's trying to do, but I'm not sure that I need a legal opinion from the city attorney, truthfully.
Okay, understood. Ms. Malikoff, if you don't mind, I'd like to just recognize everyone else on the board, and then at the end, I will circle back to the city attorney. Is that okay with you?
Yes, of course.
Thank you. Mr. Orlowski, please proceed.
Again, I guess these are sort of questions for the city, but I'm just curious if the city's had any contact with this other operator. And, you know, I don't think that the presence of a key box really proves anything, and maybe, you know, the articles may indicate some financial strain, but there's nothing preventing them from opening tomorrow. Would be my understanding. I think if they were ready to go, they could open. So I'm just curious, I guess, from the applicant as well. I'm not certain what the presence of a key box, I mean, that could be for the use of a contractor or something else. Who knows what it's for? I just really want some clarity as to what's going on with this other operator.
Okay, and would you like that from the city attorney as well? Because if so, then along with Mr. Malikoff's question, I'd like to just pose that till the end and acknowledge the rest of the board.
That would be fine.
Thank you, Mr. Orlowski. Is that Mr. Planis who's speaking?
Yes, may I briefly?
Go ahead, please.
Obviously, within these companies, there is a deep amount of knowledge of the other's operation. I'll give you an example. The other company, MedMen, sued the city to overturn the ordinance in the same manner we have. MedMen all of a sudden froze their lawsuit. They stopped it in midstream. Another sign of evidence. that the company is out of money. I give you the fact that if you have 3 or 4 months of a vacant building with that keypad, it may not mean anything. But when we're going on over a year of inactivity, when they've had the ability to open, at this point, this is not work that's being done. I'm sure there is no other permit going on there, and the city can clarify that. Again, to deny us, the city would have to prove competent, substantial evidence that MedMen has actually furthered their application. I don't think that's the case, because after more than a year and a half of inactivity, there is nothing that's going in there from MedMen, and there is probably going to be an attempt to either sell their licenses or sell the store. But we're talking about significant amount of time here, other than it would just be more construction.
Thank you, Mr. Planis. I'd like to acknowledge a couple other people on the board that have questions. Mr. Acion, please proceed.
Yeah, I wanted to ask the same questions to the city attorney. And also, does MedMen have the right to, if for some reason they're going out of business, do they have the right to sell their license of that particular venue to another dispensary? And also, my second question is, how much time from the point that they're given the right, MedMen, to open up there, do they have to actually open up? Could it be indefinite? Could they be under construction, per se, for 2 years, 3 years, 5 years? What's that like?
Understood, and we will pose that to the city attorney. Mr. Goldberg, I see your hand is raised as well. Do you have anything that you would like to comment or ask of Mr. Planis? You're going to ask directly. It seems like a lot of the board has questions for the city attorney. Mr. Goldberg?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I think a lot's going to go back to the city attorney. I think a lot of it will fall on, and I don't think it's under our purview, is, you know, the lease that they have with the landlord. I think, you know, most leases have a provision that, you know, you can't go black or not be open, but that's not in the purview of what we do. And if the owner of the building had an issue with them and the lease at this point, I think it would be up to them. But I don't think the financial condition of a company really falls under our purview to decide whether or not, you know, we would proceed with a hardship under the circumstances. But I would, again, agree with my fellow board members to defer back to the attorney from a legal standpoint.
Thank you, Mr. Goldberg. Mr. City Attorney, it seems like a lot of the board members have some questions directed to you and to staff. If you don't mind answering them, that would be great. I know there was a lot of them, so if you want me to recall some of the board members to ask them directly, or if you'd like to just speak on this file, we would appreciate it.
Sure, and thank you. And I appreciate how much discretion and authority everybody seems to think that I have on this. But just going through the basic question that's before the board. What's before the board is an application to vary a minimum distance separation between medical cannabis treatment centers. And as Mr. Planis cited the code properly, what the code requires is that no medical cannabis treatment center be located within 1,200 feet of another medical cannabis treatment center. So the question before the board is, has the applicant and is there evidence in the record to support the grant of a variance from that minimum distance separation requirement within the variance criteria that's in our related special acts, which is obviously the undue hardship or practical difficulty criteria, or the hardship criteria in the city code. The question that several board members are asking is you know, you're asking about what's going on with this existing medical marijuana treatment center use, and what stage of the process is it in? And for that, I mean, that is, you know, at its core, a question of fact. For that, I'd like staff to weigh in on what approvals have been issued to the other property, and whether any permits remain active.
Yes, they have a building permit. Let me give you the permit number, BC1910075, which is an interior and exterior build out, mechanical building, electrical and plumbing to convert to medical dispensary. And that permit is still active, and it has an expiration date of October 28, 2020. So that is still active.
And was that that building permit issued for a medical marijuana treatment center?
Yes. Okay. For the alteration to create a medical cannabis treatment center. Yeah.
Okay. So if that's the case, and if you know, even if construction has not necessarily commenced, so long as the permit's been issued and the requirements, because the code has a very detailed set of requirements for medical marijuana treatment centers. So as a condition precedent to getting a building permit for a medical marijuana treatment center, you have to have complied with a number of technical requirements in our code. I assume, and Rogelio, you can confirm, but I assume that we're already beyond that step if a building permit has been issued, right?
That's correct. Okay. Yes, and the permit status, I'm looking at it right now, it clearly says issued, and the expiration date we have not arrived there yet.
Okay, so then in that case, then the issue properly before the board is whether, again, whether the record, you know, whether the record supports the grant of a variance from the minimum distance separation requirement for cannabis treatment centers. Your professional staff has presented their recommendation. You have a memorandum in your agenda package. And, you know, as always, we remain available, you know, to answer any questions, but I think that the request is properly before you.
It looks like Mr. Planis has his hand raised. Mr. Planis, would you like to respond to anything that the board or either staff or Mr. City Attorney has gone ahead and spoken on?
Yes, Mr. Chair, it might be a good idea just as a matter of procedure to open to the public and then give Mr. Planis an opportunity to present his rebuttal final once.
Yes, understood. Let's do that, and I appreciate it, Mr. City Attorney. You know, it's a little bit different with Zoom on having someone's hand raised, but Mr. Planis, why don't we go ahead and take Mr. City Attorney's recommendation of allowing the public to speak, and then I will give you a couple minutes of sufficient time to close up and provide your rebuttal, okay? Is there anyone from the public that would like to speak on this matter? Mr. City Attorney, if you can go ahead and look and let me know, I'd appreciate it.
I don't see anyone yet. If there are any members of the public who'd like to speak, you can click raise your hand if you're logged in through the Zoom app. And then if you're attending by phone, you can dial star 9. So I don't know, Mr. Chair, I don't see anyone asking to speak.
Okay. Having not seen anyone who wants to speak on behalf of the public, is there anyone else on the board that would like to pose questions, have comments prior to me allowing Mr. Planis to go ahead and close up with his rebuttal? I see Mr. Acion has his hand raised. Mr. Acion, please have the floor.
Yeah, I just think it's relevant to find out what the status is of the other site that's a block away. You know, I would like to understand a little bit of what's going on because it is a block away.
And we've answered that question, that there is an active permit.
So, but how long do they have to work on that permit? In other words, could it be 3 years, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years? Is there a time limit?
At this point, the expiration date is October 28, 2020. However, building permits are under the purview of the building official, and they have their own guidelines. I'm sure they're going to be able to get extensions as a result of the pandemic, and whatever else may come. But that is under the purview of the building official.
Got it.
So
it could be indefinite. It could be for 2 years. It could be they could extend the permit for 3 years. So I think that there might be we should consider figuring out a way of how could, you know, because obviously this could hurt another business, and this situation happens to be this particular business. But if somebody continues to extend their permits for indefinitely and not allowing somebody else to be able to open up a business because they're not doing it, it's something that we should consider of how do we put a cap on something like that in the future for other businesses.
Thank you, Mr. Acion. Mr. Barron, I see that your hand is raised. Please have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Planis, do I understand your position that because the business located at 550 Collins Avenue hasn't opened yet, that the location prohibiting another cannabis treatment center within 1,200 feet is irrelevant because there is none pending at the moment. Is that, did I understand your position correct?
Board member, you are absolutely 100% correct. Yes, because the ordinance of Miami Beach says location, not hypothetical location, not permanent, says location. Right now, there is no cannabis treatment center within 1,200 feet. And when you really, it's not parsing the statement, it's the direct meaning of the ordinance. And case law is very clear that statutes and ordinances are to be interpreted with their plain, direct meaning. And in this case, because there is no cannabis treatment center located within 1,200 feet, there is nothing that specifically should deny us from opening.
Mr. Barron, this is Mr. Siegel. This might help you. On page 33 or 307 of our materials, it does actually have section 142-1502, subsection B4. It says no medical cannabis treatment center shall be located within 1,200 feet of another medical cannabis treatment center, if you wanted to look at that. But Mr. Barron, please proceed.
I'm looking at that, and that's what prompted my question. So, Mr. Planis, to follow up on this, if we were to grant the variance because your interpretation of 142-1502 is that there is not now an existing treatment center, and that center opens up before October 28th of 2020, what happens to your client?
Actually, Mr. Barron, no. The proper procedure would be that when the other center hypothetically goes to close their permit, the city would deny them because they didn't finish in time, and therefore they're the ones who would then be forced to apply for the variance because they ended up applying for something in which caused the city to unrightfully deny ours. So therefore, because they're the ones that have taken too long, they would then be thrust into the position of them applying for the variance. Now, I speak with fairly certain confidence that they will, you will not be put in that situation, nor will they, because of the fact that they do not have money to own. Whether or not they say that they can sell their license, I think that's a different argument. I think they are incorrect. I do not believe that just like any other use permit can be sold or traded, they cannot sell theirs. But if all of a sudden you grant us the variance, we hurry up, we finish construction, we open, they're the ones who would then be in the position to have to apply for a variance because the city could very well just deny their permit at that time.
So is it your position that there was a time requirement that the medical marijuana business at 550 Collins Avenue had to meet in order to be first in this location?
Well, I do believe that certainly is something that plays a factor. When you have a restrictive ordinance that looks at distance separations between businesses, And for instance, you have it in the issue with pharmacies as well. So let's say you have a Walgreens and a CVS trying to go in with it that certain amount of time. Yes, and I think Mr. Board Member Acion lays it right on the point. This thought that they can just continue, applying and applying and extending, all of a sudden creates if that's what's allowed, you create a massive problem, probably on equal protection, probably on other violations of the law, because of this distance separation. There has to be a prudent time to act. They have not. In this case, however, remember, we're not just saying, oh, there should be a race to open. I think we have sufficient empirical evidence that company is in dire straits and is not open. So, number one, we have the legality that because they're not open, you should grant us the variance. But we also have the very realistic evidence that a lot of these companies grew very much like the internet boom in the 90s, where the value was given and the companies were not worth it. All of the evidence seems to suggest that MedMen was treated in the same manner. They were given all this funding, but they were not able to come up with it. If you really read the article from yesterday, especially, I think you realize the dire financial straits. It's not that I'm asking the city to take a gamble. I think that legally the city can say, okay, both of you hurry up and open. Whoever opens up first gets the variance. But in this case, we also have evidence that you're not going to have a problem with them because they're not going to be around to harm the city.
So you're asking this board to vote on actually what you're claiming is evidence, but I see is pure speculation.
I'd like to interject at some point. Mr. Chair, I don't know if you want to give Mr. Planas a few minutes to present his rebuttal or if that was his rebuttal. But you have a really narrow issue before you. The issue before you is not whether you grant a variance because Mr. Planas is telling you that the other use within the minimum distance separation is never going to open. The issue before you is your professional staff has advised you that there is a medical marijuana treatment center within 1,200 feet of this proposed operation. Whether it's been constructed, it's been permitted. That permit is active, and that permit can be acted upon to build and open this operation. So if a permit alone didn't count for distance separation purposes, there would be no purpose for minimum distance separations. There'd be no way to enforce that ordinance. So I just remind the board of what your authority is on this application, which is to consider whether the application before you meets the variance criteria in the related special acts and in the city code.
Thank you, Mr. City Attorney. And correct me if I'm wrong. I recall that staff had said that the permit expires in October 2020. If for some reason the MedMen on 550 Collins Avenue did not go ahead and renew their permit or didn't actually build out the medical marijuana facility, then there's nothing preventing this applicant from coming before staff or this board again at that time and saying that there is no longer a location within 1,200 feet. Am I correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Just very quickly, because I did see Mr. Goldberg and Mr. Olasky were being very patient. Gentlemen, very briefly, and Mr. Acion, can we speak? But let's just keep in mind that there are other applicants and we're trying to keep this and moving forward. I don't want to limit anybody because you all have been patient, but go ahead, Mr. Goldberg, very quickly.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I just, want to comment, and a lot of those answers, so I won't repeat what was already said, is, how long it normally would take. I know a lot of these dispensaries have opened up around the state, and, is it uncommon for a dispensary to take so long to do a build out? It's a new thing that's out there. I'm not going to say to be the expert on it, but a lot of the questions were answered and I think you just said it very well, Mr. Chair, that, they've got a lease. They're obviously paying their rent. They obviously have enough money to pay their rent, or they wouldn't be there. And I just don't think it's under our purview at this point, to look any further than that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Goldberg. Mr. Olasky?
Just very quickly, it does sound like the applicant is actually suggesting that this is a race to open. It seems under his argument, you could have 10 people going through a permitting process hoping to open first. And then whoever gets their doors open first would be the winner. And secondly, this reliance on, the idea that this is not an ongoing entity when, tomorrow they could have an investor flush with cash, restock their coffers. This is just a lot to rely on to go forward with this.
Thank you, Mr. Olasky. Mr. Acion, very briefly.
Briefly, could MedMen, if they go out of business, sell the rights to open the store to somebody else with a medical license? Is that possible or not?
Mr. City Attorney, do you have a comment on that?
I'm sure that the business that has an active permit could sell its business to another. I believe they would still need to come into the planning department. And I'm not sure what specifically the code requires, but Rogelio can probably weigh in on that. Is that what your question is?
I think the code would require them to go through a process. The owners need to be declared. I believe they need to do a background check, and there's a series of actions that need to take place before that could happen, but it could happen.
So in a nutshell, they could actually sell their rights to somebody else and prohibit this applicant from opening up and prolonging that whole entire process. In essence, I'm just asking, in reality, could that happen?
I would not, as your impartial counsel, I would not frame it that way. I think the fact is you have to look at an active permit as a business that's on its way to, you know, that's in the process of construction, it's in the process of opening. And obviously, I mean, we've all seen projects that for any use that linger because whatever it may be, whether it's financial reasons or otherwise, where permits are kept alive by shoveling dirt from one end of the property to the other, that doesn't change the fact that the permit is active.
Thank you, Mr. City Attorney. Do I have anything else from the board? Otherwise, I am going to give Mr. Planis 2 minutes to just wrap up and give us a rebuttal / closing on his side, and then I'd like to go ahead and see if we have a motion. Is there anything else from the board? Okay, Mr. Planis, go ahead and proceed, please.
This is the problem the city has, and the city attorney just said, yes, somebody can extend permits. But when you have an ordinance that creates a distance separation, it creates a higher burden. At this point, nobody's meeting that higher burden except for my company that wants to open. Any sort of, and Rogelio said this, they would have to basically begin the permitting process again. If they wanted to sell their license to someone else, that person has to go through the background check and all the other processes that my company has already done. So therefore, they couldn't sell it because we're already in the pipeline and it would automatically go to us. This is the problem that you have. Your ordinance could have said permitted applications. It didn't. It said locations. And this is the problem when you choose words in an ordinance. You need to deny this based on competent substantial evidence. And right now, there is no competent substantial evidence that there is a medical marijuana treatment center within 1,200 feet of where my client wants to open. So therefore, a denial would not be based on anything substantive. And that's the problem that you have right now, because this company has taken the city for a ride. Now, people have said, oh, they're paying rent. We don't know that because evictions have been basically put on halt since March. So this company could very well be not paying rent, and we wouldn't know because the owner would know that they can't evict them during the COVID time. And that's another one of the problems that we have. So again, I understand the position that the board has. It's very difficult, but we don't believe that there is competent substantial evidence to deny our application because there is no facility located within the 1,200 feet. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Planet. Just very briefly, I see Mr. Goldberg and Mr. Barron have your hands raised. Is that intentional, gentlemen? Do either of you need to speak?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Mr. Barron.
The restrictions on evictions, I believe, are related solely to residential.
That's right.
Okay, thank you for that clarification, Mr. Barron. Mrs. Malikoff?
I'm ready to make a motion.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Malikoff, please proceed. Do I have a motion?
Yes. I believe that we cannot deal with speculation. The applicant has not complied with either the practical difficulty criteria or the hardship criteria. As such, the application does not meet the necessary thresholds for a variance. Therefore, I say that we deny the requested variance, even though J.C. Planis did an excellent job defending it. I think he's splitting hairs between location and a building permit. I do not believe that they have the right. They are within that 1,200 feet, and therefore I would deny the variance request.
Thank you, Mrs. Malikoff. Do I have a second?
Second.
Was that Mr. Barron?
Yes.
A second by Mr. Barron. Can we have a call to vote, please?
Andre Sacion?
Yes, I agree to deny.
Richard Barron?
Yes.
Yahil Cement?
Agree with the denial.
Michael Goldberg.
Agree with the denial.
Julie Malikoff.
Yes.
James Orlowski.
Yes, I agree with the denial.
Richard Siegel.
Agree with the denial as well. It seems like it's unanimous that the motion passes and is unanimous in its denial. Mr. Planas, it's no reflection on your fine attorneying that you've done today. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Okay, the next matter that we have before us today is ZBA 200108, which is 4333 Adams Avenue. Mr. Staff, would you go ahead and just give a disclosure, please, and a background on this matter for us?
This is file ZBA 20-0105, 3003 Sheridan Avenue. The applicant, Robert Manila, is requesting two variances associated with the construction of a pool located within the required front yard of a single-family home. Variance one is to reduce by 3 feet the minimum front yard setback for a swimming pool and pool deck of 10 feet to allow for the construction of a pool and pool deck within the front required front yard, a setback of 7 feet. Variance two, a variance to reduce by 6 inches the minimum required interior side yard setback for a pool deck of 7 feet 6 inches to allow for the construction of a pool deck with an interior side yard setback of 7 feet. The property is a regularly shaped corner lot that contains an existing single family home. The home is situated on the site with a non-conforming rear yard, which is smaller than a typical rear yard for a single family home. It's also oriented with the front of the home, the front door and the garage facing the side facing street, which is Sheridan Avenue, which functions as the actual front yard. The location of the home on the site makes it almost impossible to construct a pool within the rear or interior side yard. This represents a practical difficulty and hardship. Staff is supportive of the requested variances, and we recommend approval with the conditions enumerated in the draft order.
Okay, thank you. And I understand it that the applicant is Mr. Cement, so I assume that he would be recusing himself from this?
No, this is application 0105.
I think we skipped one, I believe.
Okay, then.
We went on to the 3003 Sheridan Avenue pool, which is 0105 instead of the Adams one.
Yeah, what I had introduced
was... My agenda
has
Adams next. Sorry.
So does mine, Steve. So does mine. Mine had Sheridan next also.
Okay, we'll take Sheridan.
I'm in your hands, staff. We will go ahead and proceed as you please. Just in our booklets, the next item was the Adams item. What item was just introduced? The item that was just introduced was the Sheridan Avenue item?
Correct.
Okay, let's go ahead and recall this so that we just have it clear, just so we're clear on the record of what happened in the board's materials. The next item was 433 Adams Avenue, which was ZBA 200108. However, what has been introduced now and is on the record is ZBA 200105, 3003 Sheridan Avenue, and we have just received staff's background on that. So we will be proceeding with the 3003 Sheridan Avenue application. Do we have the applicant here?
Yes.
Can you just briefly introduce yourself? Just give us your name.
Hi, my name is Robert Manila. I am the owner of 3003 Sheridan Avenue. And beside with me is my father-in-law.
I'm Steve Bogomilski. I'm his father-in-law. I'm just helping him with his presentation here today.
Great. Thank you. Before we hear from the applicant, is there any disclosures that need to be made from the board?
Mr. Chairman, I think Mr. Cement may have left the meeting thinking that his item was up next. So I don't know if he needs to be brought back in. Or I don't see him.
I think we're moving him back over now.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody.
Mrs. Malikoff, you have your hand raised. I just don't know if that was from before, if you would like to speak. Okay, thank you. But having seen no one with their hand raised and no disclosures, Mr. City Attorney, can you swear in the applicants, please?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Good morning. Can you state For the record, whether you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
I do.
Thank you.
Please proceed with your presentation. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, congratulations on your nomination and the board being able to move forward. Sorry we can't be meeting in person like it used to be, but hopefully this too shall pass. The item before you is very simple, in fact. As presented by city staff, it's an irregularly shaped lot, corner lot. It has specific hardships and differences to most irregularly shaped corner lots because it specifically has on the south side of the property city street parking. So it's not like they can ever use that portion of the lot for anything, even frontage-wise. The lot is extremely hard in any way or other shape to build a swimming pool, which is a allowed item in almost every single property in the state of Florida, practically. The variance before you is a hardship, not based on financial hardship, but based on the peculiar shape of the lot and the position of the house, as you can see in the survey that was presented and the images given to you. The variance that will be conferred on this lot is not going to confer any special privileges to this applicant versus others. And therefore, we request that we hope with the blessing of the board, we can move forward and have this pool built on their property for them to enjoy. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anything further from the applicants before I speak to the board?
No.
Great, thank you. Is there any questions from any of my board members? Mr. Orlowski, please proceed.
I just wanted to say, I actually had previously owned a house with a similar situation and we had started to look into doing a pool in an unusual spot, so I can certainly sympathize. My only concern would just be as far as securing the pool from the street, just to prevent any, you know, neighborhood children or anything, just to confirm that it'll always be fenced in and there won't be access from the street from third parties.
That's a standard law. You must put pool fencing and pool alarms to protect not only yourself, but others entering.
Mr. Barron, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm looking at the site photo on page 58 of our agenda. And asking, is that a building to the east, or is that part of the subject property? Is that another home?
Behind the swimming pool?
To the east of the swimming pool, as you look at the photo to the right.
Yes, that's another home.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Malikoff, please proceed. Ms. Malikoff, you have your microphone still muted if you'd like to speak.
Okay, let's try again.
Yes.
Drove by the property to see it, to investigate what we're talking about. And I understand the irregular shaped lot and the parking on the front. My question is about the fencing. Right now you have wooden fencing for part of it. What type of fencing do you plan to have once the pool is built that will protect you from outsiders going into the pool or children?
The answer is that wooden fence is actually hideous and yes, falling apart, and we are dying to change it, and it will be a metal fence that will be designed nicely. But okay, to change it prior to ripping all of it out and then down, it just didn't make logical sense, and we've been in this process for many months to try to get to where we are today. So that is the ultimate goal.
But you answered exactly what I hoped, because the wooden fence really was not very attractive to the street. But an aluminum picket or whatever you're doing, I'm sure will be a big improvement.
Probably nicer than just standard picket, but that is the plan ultimately.
Good.
I just want to note that on page 60, there is a condition that the area is to remain fenced and landscaped.
Correct.
Do I have any other questions from the board? Having seen none, Mr. City Attorney, I'd like to see if there's anyone from the public that would like to speak on this matter.
I see no one from the public with their hand raised, so I think we can move on.
Great. From the applicant, is there anything further that you would like to say very briefly? Otherwise, I will call for a motion and to vote.
No.
Is there a motion on behalf of the board? Mr. Cement has his hand raised. Mr. Cement, briefly.
No, I just wanted to say that I know the bug of Milski is just from the community, but I'm obviously remaining impartial. But other than that, just wanted to make a motion to approve. I think it's a pretty straightforward request.
Thank you. Motion to approve by Mr. Cement. Is there a second on the board?
Michael Goldberg, second.
Michael Goldberg, second. Thank you, Mr. Goldberg. Call to vote, please.
Andres Sacion. I didn't hear that.
I'm sorry, I said yes.
Okay, thank you. Richard Barron?
Yes.
Yahil Cement?
Yes.
Michael Goldberg?
Yes.
Joy Malakoff?
Yes.
James Orlowski?
Yes.
And Richard Siegel?
Yes. Having passed unanimously, please enjoy your pool and enjoy your home. And thank you for your time today. Stay safe and healthy.
Thank you very much.
Staff, just to be clear, because we did have a little bit of mix up in your agenda versus our materials, I assume now that in your agenda, we will now go back in our materials to ZBA 20-01-08-433 Adams Avenue, the addition. Is that correct, staff?
That's correct.
So if I may, given that this is, for my personal residence, I'm going to be recusing myself from this vote.
Thank you, Mr. Cement.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to just mention something before we start, if that's okay with you.
Please, go ahead, Mr. Orlowski.
Well, for our newer board members, our normal agendas are not nearly this long. We see relatively few applicants. And so now this is now my fifth year, and I think Mr. Barron and Mr. Siegel have been there with me most of this time. So this is now the second time we've had a board member with an application before our board. And it's certainly no reflection on this applicant or this application. But I do find it puzzling a little bit that, because I like to think of myself in these cases as one of the neighbors and how they would feel if, and especially if they were objecting to a particular application, knowing that they had to register their objections with the board that the applicant actually sits on, I think I would feel that the deck was kind of stacked against me. So I'm curious as far as the sort of, recusal process and how that works and how if that's even a consideration. I certainly feel I can be fair and balanced on this application, and I'm not, it is no reflection at all on the particular application or the applicant. I find it a little challenging to think that, the applicant can be sitting on the board that's rendering a decision, in particular if there were objections. I think those objectors would take issue with that.
I can respond to that, Mr. Orlowski. I understand that there may be some discomfort when a fellow board member comes before the board for an approval. But at the end of the day, accepting an appointment to the Board of Adjustment does not impact the right of a board member to present an application to this board. And the fact is that under our code, that in order to obtain the variance that the applicant is seeking, the applicant would need to come before the Board of Adjustment. This is the right place, right, so to speak. So what we look to is, as the city attorney's office, is whether an individual board member would have a voting conflict. In this case, the application before you is for the board member's personal home. And so the board member would have a voting conflict. So what the code requires is what your fellow board member has done, which is to recuse from consideration of the application and to submit a conflict of interest disclosure form, which he's done. So at the end of the day, everybody, we all retain our right to submit applications for consideration by applicable boards, even when we accept appointments to one of, you know, to that same board.
Thank you, Mr. City Attorney. Mr. Orlowski, does that clarify your concerns?
I think so. And again, I want to make it very clear that it does not reflect on the applicant or the application at all. I'm just, you know, when we previously had a situation like this, it, you know, I kind of imagined, well, this is going to be a very rare, you know, once in a lifetime thing. And then now here we are again. So I just wanted to bring that up. I certainly defer to the city's legal, you know, department and their advice.
If I may, if it makes you feel any better, I wish we didn't have to come in front of the board. Okay, for whatever it's worth.
Thank you, Mr. Cement. Mr. City Attorney, is there anything that we have to do, though, with Mr. Cement? Like, I know that when it's had to happen before, that the board member has essentially had to step off the dais. In this particular circumstance, is there anything that we need to do so that when we do vote that there's no issues, that he was technically on the dais or anything like that?
Right. So Mr. Cement properly advised the board that he would be recusing himself from this application because of a voting conflict. So I think what we can do, we can have communication staff do is move Mr. Cement from panelists to attendees so that it's as though he's stepping off the dais like he would if we were in a physical meeting place. And then, you know, as a separate matter, Mr. Cement can remain available to answer questions. I understand that his architect is going to present the application. But if, you know, if the board member were to have a question that the board member believed Mr. Cement would be in the best position to answer, you could ask him that question as applicant. Do we okay. have, is the applicant, is the applicant's architect on the line to present? Okay. Can you state for the record whether you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay, thank you.
Did we have an introduction? The application? Yeah, exactly. I don't think we had an introduction from staff.
Okay, so this is item ZBA 20-0108. And the address is 4333 Adams Avenue. The applicant is requesting a variance to reduce by 4 feet, 3 inches, the minimum front yard setback for a two-story structure of 30 feet to allow for the construction of a second story addition to an existing single story home with a front yard setback of 25 feet, 9 inches. The subject property is an interior non-waterfront lot, which contains a single story home. The existing home has a front yard setback of 25 feet, 9 inches. The applicant is proposing a small second story addition. Although the second story addition of the home would have a front yard setback of 30 feet, the code requires a 30-foot setback for the entire structure. Without the granting of the requested variance, the applicant would be required to demolish and reconstruct a significant portion of the existing first floor to comply with the two-story front setback of 30 feet. This represents a practical difficulty and a hardship. Staff is supportive of the requested variance, and we recommend approval, subject to the enumerated conditions in the draft order.
Thank you very much. Are there any disclosures from the board before we hear from the applicant, other than obviously that we all know that Mr. Cement sits on the Board of Adjustments? Anything other than that? Great. Having seen none, we'd like to proceed forward with the applicant. Please proceed with your presentation.
Good morning, board members. Thank you for the opportunity to present this application. My name is Jerome Gafkovich of TAG Architecture, 1251 97th Street in Bay Harbor. I'll try to be brief since I know that, as you mentioned, this is you've got several other applications that are coming behind me. Our clients, as you know, for this house are Yechiel and Alexis Cement. Since Yechiel can't be presenting, I'd like just to say a few words regarding their family. This is going to be their home. They intend to raise their growing family at this home. Both Yechiel and Alexis grew up in Miami Beach. And in fact, Yechiel told me that he was raised in a house just a few blocks away from this property. When they came to me for this project, they specifically said that they did not want to build a new oversized home. and said they wanted to keep as much of the integrity of the existing house, adding and renovating only what was needed to make this home make this house a home that they can raise their family. One of the critical requirements was that they needed more space for their family, and we needed to add some bedrooms. The existing house is a one-story, as you heard from staff, and it the front setback of the existing home is less than 30 feet. We explored several options for the addition, including a ground floor addition, which would not have required a request for variance. But we realized that this was not a good option at all. We could build that that addition and the square footage mostly that would meet the family's needs, but the resulting home would maximize the allowable footprint, lot coverage, and it would take up too much of the yard at both front and rear. In fact, the resulting house would have actually reduced the existing front setback to 20 feet, and eating up most of the yard. The front facade of the house would have been much flatter. The rear yard would have been eaten up as well. And again, it just wouldn't result in a positive, good solution for the neighborhood. So that was not something that I recommended, and certainly not something that the clients, and we chose not to pursue that. In fact, Yechiel said to me that he would not do the project and instead sell the house and possibly move out of the city. The other option, of course, that we present to you is a second floor addition. Unfortunately, a second floor addition cannot be built on this house as of right, regardless of the size, the placement, or design of the second floor. The reason is because the existing house sits less than 30 feet from the front property line. Even though the existing house front wall on both the left and right side at 25 foot setback or around 25 foot setback is compliant now, the code states that any second floor, once there is a second floor added, it becomes a two-story structure, and then therefore the house has to be at 30 feet. So again, regardless of the placement, the size, or the design of that second floor, it would make it non-conforming. There is no language in the code to detail to deal with this issue. For an addition like there is for side yards. The only choice short of demolishing portions of the existing front of the house is a variance. We designed the house or the addition to limit its impact from the street. The addition is along one wing on the left side or north side of the house and across the rear. So the center of the structure and the right side or south side predominantly remain the same, volume. The proposed addition is set back 30 feet from the property line, which is the required setback for a two-story home. The variance, if granted, would not allow us to build anything encroaching into the required setback. It would only be a variance for the existing front setback of the front walls of the original home. Since we're not making this a two-story structure, which requires increased front setback. All else of the proposed design of the house is as of right, so we respectfully request approval of the setback variance and are in agreement with the conditions that staff outlined in their staff report recommending approval. We can run through the drawings if you'd like. I don't know, again, I don't want to take more of your time, but we can answer any questions or review the drawings.
Thank you very much. Why don't we hear from the board, and I will give you a couple minutes if necessary at the end to go ahead and just wrap up. And if anyone wants to see the designs, we can do that at that time. Mr. Ostion, please proceed.
Yeah. Do you have a favorable approval from the neighbor on either side of the house? And also, how many feet will the property increase towards the front of the house that would surpass the houses on the left and the right?
There is no increase towards the front of the house.
Okay.
The existing 25 feet, or roughly 25 feet, is of the existing first floor. The second floor addition is set back at 30. So we're not increasing the setback on the front. On the sides, I haven't heard anything from the neighbors or any objections from anybody. I don't know if there's been any contact to the city. from the neighbors. But in terms of the side yards, side setbacks, we are not, we are building as of right on the north side, over the existing structure. On the south side, we are set back further from the existing structure. So, but again, we haven't heard anything, any objections from either of the neighbors.
Notice was given to all property owners within 375 feet, and we haven't received any feedback.
Thank you. Mr. Goldberg, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Kakovich, I have a question on the plans, on the pictures. On view number 8, that house that is in the plans, is that house to the south of the proposed? I'm not sure. All the other pictures are of the subject property. But where is this house on view 8? That's in the plans in the package. Where is it located?
Let me go to that.
Trying to see if there's a page here. A-0.03.
Yep.
It's two houses down.
Yeah, it's to the south. The second house to the south.
Okay, and I'm assuming you included that just to kind of show an example. And I did drive the neighborhood, and a lot of homes are going through this renovation and process, which I think is great for the city. Is this a similar setback and house that was redone? Is that why you included it, just for illustration purposes? Or
we included all the images or the photos of the houses on that block, on that same side of the street. And then a couple of across the street as well. So
gotcha. Great. Thank you.
Mr. Orlowski, please proceed.
I just want to mention, I on these types of things, I actually prefer when the applicants directly reach out, especially to the most affected neighbor, you know, directly to the, I assume, to the north of the property. Would have been nice to have heard their approval. Would have been a little extra reassurance. Just looking at the pictures, it seems like there's quite a bit of foliage separating those two properties, the applicant's property and the property to the north. And I just want to verify that all that foliage is still going to remain.
We have gone through, in fact, we had submitted this project for permit previously. It was my error in interpretation of the code, not thinking that we needed a variance. Because the proposed addition was set back to the required 30-foot setback. So we proceeded forward with as of right. So we've gone through the landscape process. So yes, to answer your question, we've already gotten approval from the Urban Forestry Department on the drawings. We have their permit. We're meeting all the requirements. There's, I think, one tree there that is... that is not a native or not is a prohibited tree that needed to be removed. But for the most part, yes, everything of the existing landscaping is to remain.
Just so one more quick question for staff, I guess. I think there are a couple applicants that we have now that, you know, we're considering sort of the impact to the neighborhood in regards to the lot coverage and the permeable land and water absorption and all that, in relation to sort of the effect on the neighborhood and the immediate neighbors. I would imagine if I were the immediate neighbor who's used to having a private backyard, having a second story addition built next to me that would, you know, give up some of that privacy would be more of an impact. So I'm just curious, how do we weigh those issues, the sort of big picture city-wide issues versus the more immediate issues of the direct neighbors?
Well, in this scenario, the addition, the setbacks that would affect the immediate neighbors, the addition is being built as of right. The issue is the setback for the front of the property, which is existing.
Yeah, and if I can add to that, if the existing one-story house would have been set back 4.5 more feet, and it would have been at 30 feet, we wouldn't be here in front of this board. The addition does not or the variance does not necessarily impact the side neighbor. It's really just the front. Stephen, I guess, can confirm, but again, but it's really the what we're doing on the side setback is as of right. And the second floor that we're proposing is, I don't want to say as of right, because it's we're obviously in front of you as a board to get this variance, but the variance is really for to make the existing ground floor, to legalize, if you will, that existing ground floor, which is just a few feet over the 30-foot required setback.
Jerry's correct about that. That's correct. Essentially, this variance is allowing them to keep the existing first floor without modifying it. And also, I want to point out that the city is in the process of amending the single-family home regulations, and one of the amendments that staff is proposing would address this issue. This variance would allow the second story to have the 30-foot setback, so that way it would eliminate the need for this variance. But that ordinance is currently still in land use, so it would not have helped this project.
Yeah, just to make clear, it's no matter what, because this the front wall of the house on the two wings is around 25 feet, no matter what second floor under the current code, no matter what proposed second floor we would come up with, setback from the sides, from the front, from the rear, we would have to come to this board. You add 10 square foot on the second floor, it would make this structure a two-story structure and therefore non-conforming.
Ms. Malikoff, go ahead, please proceed.
I have a question for Stephen. You said there's something at land use now that's changing the second floor. It'll still be setback, right? They're not getting rid of the setback.
Correct. The proposed modification would allow, like this scenario, the ground floor to stay at 20 feet, but the second floor would have to be set back much greater, because we have a lot of projects that cannot comply with the ordinance because they're doing additions.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Orlowski, do you have a follow-up question? Are your hand still raised, or is that still from before?
I'm not sure if we still need to go to the public or not, but if we're ready for motions, I'd like to make a motion.
Let me just open it to the public real quick. Having seen nothing further from the board, is there anyone from the public that would like to speak on this matter? And Mr. City Attorney, if you can go ahead and just look for me, I'd appreciate it.
I see the applicant has his hand raised, but I don't know. Was there a question to the applicant? Was he trying to respond?
I don't think we need to hear anything from the applicant.
Yeah, okay. The question was on neighbor input. They're just asking us what's taking so long to start construction, but they're very excited for the project.
Thank you for that. Is there anyone else in the public that would like to speak?
I see no one else on my screen.
Great. Thank you, Mr. City Attorney. Having seen nothing further from the board, I'm happy to allow further comment from the architect, but I believe that we should probably go ahead and see if we have a motion. Mr. Orlowski, did you have a motion?
Just to reiterate to Mr. Cement that my earlier concerns had nothing to do with his application or the applicant. I'd like to motion to approve the requested variance subject to the conditions enumerated in the attached draft modified order.
I see.
Thank you, Mr. Orlowski. Was that Ms. Malikoff that seconded it?
Yes.
Thank you, Ms. Malikoff. I'd like to call it to vote.
Andres Sacion.
Yes.
Richard Barron. Richard Barron.
Yes.
Michael Goldberg.
Yes.
Joy Malikoff.
Yes.
James Orlowski.
Yes.
Richard Siegel.
Yes. Having passed by unanimous vote of the board, congratulations, Mr. Cement, and we hope you enjoy your constructed home once done with your growing family.
And actually, one final clarification I wanted to make on the order is we're going to be revising the order consistent with the application. Since the property is owned in the name of a trust, we'll be revising the order to state the name of the trust as the owner of the property.
Understood. So the application really would be in the name of the trust as opposed to the individual, Mr. Cement. Is that correct,
correct.
Mr. City Attorney?
Mm-hmm. Okay, correct.
Understood. Thank you. Now moving on, and Mr. City Attorney and staff, please confirm for me that this is how it is in your agenda as well. But the next applicant that we have in our materials is ZBA 20-0109-526 West 50th Street.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. Do we have the applicant here? Mr. City Attorney, do we know if we have the applicant here?
I'm looking to see.
She was on this morning.
Oh, okay, great. Hi, I'd like to swear you in, if that's all right. Can you state whether you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. You have. Let's see. Have we called the application?
No, I haven't, and I'd like to hear from staff to call the application, please, and then I just need some, if there's any disclosures from the board, and then the applicant can proceed. So
this
can
is
you please,
filed,
yeah, thank you. Go ahead.
This is filed ZBA 20-0109-526 West 50th Street. The applicants are requesting two variances associated with the construction of a second floor addition to an existing single-story, single-family home. Variance one is a variance to reduce by 5 feet the minimum front yard setback for a two-story structure of 30 feet to allow the construction of a second-story addition to an existing single-story home with a front setback of 25 feet. Variance two, a variance to exceed by 211 square feet or 3.2% the maximum lot coverage of a two-story single-family home of 1,935 square feet or 30%. To allow for the construction of a second story addition to an existing single story home with a lot coverage of 33.2%. Like the previous application, this is an existing single story home with a existing setback, which conforms for a one story home. Also the lot coverage likewise is permitted. Single story homes are allowed to have a 50% lot coverage. So because they're adding a second story, they now have to comply with the requirements of a two-story home, which the front setback, which is not changing for this property, just like the last application, and also the lot coverage, it exceeds what's allowed for a two-story home, but the addition would not add any square footage to the ground floor. So they're not increasing the lot coverage. The variances would allow them to maintain the existing footprint and add the small second-story addition. So just like the last application, the only way that they would be able to do this would be to do demolition and reconstruction of the ground floor, which we recognize as a practical difficulty. So staff is supportive of the requested variances, and we recommend approval with the enumerated conditions in the draft order.
Thank you very much. Do I have any disclosures from the board?
PJ, could Mr. Cement be added as a panelist?
Is he now back on the board side?
Thank you.
Okay, great. I see him now. Is there any disclosures that need to be made from the board? Okay, having seen none, let's go ahead and move forward with the application. Please go ahead and present.
Good morning. Thank you for hearing me today. I've lived in Miami Beach. I'm born and raised in Miami. I've lived in Miami Beach for 20 years, as has my husband. We moved into this house 10 years ago, just as a couple, and we now have four children. So we absolutely need more space. We love Miami Beach, and we're very integrated into our neighborhood. Our oldest child attends North Beach with members of the Temple and the JCC. We have letters of support from 8 of our surrounding neighbors. As a matter of fact, our next door neighbor, where we're building the second floor addition, even offered, 10 feet of his property to stage the construction. So we do have a lot of support and we're eager to do this. We started permitting in 2018 and we've been approved by all departments, but we do need these two variances. We are priced out of the neighborhood, so we can't move. We could move, but we'd have to leave the beach, and we definitely do not want to. We love where we are. And it's the two variances. We're building a small addition on one side of the house where it is setback. The setback that we need is for the 5 feet in the front and for the extra 3% lot coverage. We are not impacting the original footprint of the house that was built in 1951, I believe. And very similar to the previous case. And yeah, I think that is, I don't know if you have any questions. I can go through this if you'd like as well.
Let me hear from the board and see if there's any pointed questions. And if they want to see some of the slides or hear anything further from you, I'll allow them to do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you have any questions from the board? I don't see any questions from the board. And Mr. City Attorney, is there anyone in the public that would like to speak on this matter?
I see no one from the public with their hands raised.
Thank you, Mr. City Attorney. Having seen that there is no one in the from the public that wants to speak on this matter and that the board does not have any questions, and being that this is in line with a similar application that has been before the board today. Mr. Cement, do you have your hand raised just now?
Sorry, I just wanted to make the motion to approve.
Okay, great. Having seen that this is in line with a similar application, let's go ahead and see if there's a motion to be added, and it looks like Mr. Cement would make one. Mr. Cement, please proceed.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the requested variance for file number ZBA, ZBA 2-0109.
Okay, Mr. Barron, I see your hand raised. Is that a second or a different kind of comment?
That's a second.
Thank you, Mr. Barron. Having seen a second from Mr. Barron, I'd like to call to vote, please.
Andre Sacion?
Yes.
Richard Barron?
Yes.
Yahil Cement?
Yes.
Michael Goldberg?
Yes.
Joy Malikoff?
Yes.
James Orlowski?
Yes.
And Richard Siegel?
Yes. Having passed by unanimous consent, congratulations. Enjoy the construction and those four beautiful children, and we look forward to continuing to have you in the community.
Thank you very much. Health to everyone. Thank you.
Okay.
Now moving on to ZBA 20-0111, 71 Lagorse Circle. Do we have the applicant, Mr. City Attorney?
It looks like we do. So good morning, sir. I'd like to ask for the record, can you state whether you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? And Mr. Munoz?
I do.
Thank you.
Great. I'd like to call the application and for its introduction, please.
This is file ZBA 20-0111, and the address is 71 Lagorse Circle. The applicant, Gonzalo Munoz, is requesting three variances associated with the construction of a ground floor addition to an existing single-story, single-family home. Variance number one is a variance to reduce by 4 feet, 9 inches, the minimum side yard facing a street setback of 15 feet to allow for the retention of an existing non-conforming side yard facing a street setback of 10 feet, 3 inches. Variance two, a variance to reduce by 14 feet, 6 inches, the minimum rear yard setback of 20 feet to allow for the construction of a one-story addition to an existing single-story home with a rear setback of 5 feet, 6 inches. And variance three, a variance to reduce by 1,091 square feet, the minimum rear yard pervious open space of 1,701 square feet, or 70%, to allow the construction of a one-story addition to an existing single-story home with the rear yard pervious open space of 610 square feet, or 25.1%. The subject site is a corner non-waterfront lot and contains a one-story residence. The existing home has a legal non-conforming street-facing side yard setback, abutting Lagorse Circle. What we assume is that when the home was built, Lagorse Circle was considered the front. But based on the current code and the configuration of the adjacent properties, Lagorse Circle would be considered the side facing the street. The code requires that structures having a non-conforming setback, which are substantially renovated, conform to the current development regulations. So variance number one would allow for the renovation of the existing home, which the applicant has stated they believe will be a substantial renovation. Would allow for the construction of the addition and a renovation without the demolition of the existing garage. With regards to variance two and three, the proposed rear addition to the home is within the allowable unit size and lot coverage requirements of the single family home. However, the proposed addition encroaches into the required rear yard. It does follow the rear yard setback of the existing home and consumes some of the required permeable open space within the rear yard. So just like with the front, it is assumed that when the home was originally constructed, the rear yard where the house is located now, what is currently the rear yard, was the interior side. But based on the current code, that is now a rear yard. You may notice that in the staff report, we requested additional documentation to satisfy the hardship criteria for variances two and three. They have submitted a revised supplemental letter of intent, which I believe was sent to the board as well. Based on that revised letter of intent, we are now supportive of these variances as well. The applicant has represented that the variances two and three there's no other feasible location to do the addition without the variances, as it would affect the actual layout of the existing home. So based on the supplemental hardship letter submitted by the applicant, we are supportive of the requested variances subject to the conditions enumerated in the draft order.
Great. Thank you very much. Is there any disclosures that anyone on the board needs to make? Having not seen anyone raise their hands, we will proceed with the applicant. Please go ahead and make your presentation. You have the floor.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Gonzalo Munoz from Six Sides Architecture. I'm ready to go ahead with the presentation.
Great.
Thank you. So, next one, please. Our property is located on 71 Lagos Drive with an existing one-story house of approximately 3,500 square footage. And our proposed addition, it's approximately 700 square footage. Next one, please. This property is located on a corner lot where the front setback is facing to Roxbury Lane and the side setback is facing Lagos Drive. It's very important to mention it again, as Mr. Steven mentioned it before, that from the beginning, this property was built with a different setback, with the front setback facing to Lagos Circle, and Roxbury Lane was considered a side setback. So it's different to the existing requirements. Also, it's very important to address that the unit size, we are okay, and also with the lot coverage, we are okay. Next one, please. This picture just showing you the existing view from Lagos Circle. The house is located to the right. Next one. The same, this view is from Lagos Circle. The house is located to the east side. Roxbury Lane. Next. This is the our street view from Lagos Drive. Thank you. This is the corner of the house. Thank you. Next one. This is the existing backyard. The existing interior side yard. So here it's our variance number one. This is the existing condition. The variance number one reduced by 4 feet, 9 inches, the minimum side yard facing a street setback of 15 feet to allow for a retention of an existing non-conforming side yard facing a street setback of 10 feet 3 inches. So it's very important to mention that in this location, we are not adding square footage. We are not doing any modification to the existing setbacks. And next one, please. The variance number 2, reduced by 14 feet, 6 inches, the minimum rear yard setback of 20 feet to allow the construction of one-story addition to an existing single-story home with a rear yard setback of 5 feet, 6 inches. So it's also a non-conforming existing condition. The variance number 3, also reduced by 1,091 square footage, the minimum rear yard pervious, open space to 1,700 square footage, 70%, to allow the construction of one-story addition to an existing story single-story home with a rear yard pervious open space of 610 square footage. Well, here, this is the existing floor plan of the house. So here you can see that the existing layout of the house is including the center of the house, all the social areas, the common areas, so the living room, the dining room, and the family room. On the right side, you can see bedroom wings facing Roxbury Lane, and in the other side, the service area with the garage, guest room, and the laundry, and also the future addition, the proposed addition, that also the new program, it's including a service area. Next one, please. The existing roofing. Next one, please. Our existing elevations. Next one. Next one, please. So this is our proposed floor plan. So here you can see that we are trying to keep the existing layout of the house, keeping the center with all the common areas, the west side with all the bedrooms area, and also you can see that we are having a large laundry room with a guest bedroom and also a new gym on the left side of the screen. And next one, please. This is the proposed elevations. So here you can see that our proposed renovation is very conservative, which maintains the exterior characteristics of the style of the house. And next one, please. Next one. On the yard sections. Next, please. This is our proposed landscape, where you can see that we are doing like a very important improvement, especially to Roxbury Lane, with a new landscape, new trees, so everything to try to give a better landscape to the house and also to the neighborhood. Next one. This is the proposed rendering for the new house. Next one. And also, it's very important to mention that we also have a letter to support from the neighbor that is that can be more affected with addition. So also they are supporting poor variances.
Great, thank you. Does that complete your presentation?
That's it.
Okay, thank you. Do I have any questions from the board? Mrs. Malikoff, go ahead and proceed, please.
I think this is a question for staff. How much permeable space is there surrounding this property once this addition is completed? Is that removing the permeable space that exists currently with the lawn? And if so, is there anything else being done for water retention on the site?
So the addition is encroaching in the rear yard. So the code has a requirement for rear yard pervious space. That is being reduced by the variance. But what's unique about this property is what is considered the front yard is completely landscaped and completely permeable. So they have no construction and a required front yard, no driveways. So that, which most houses would have a driveway or some kind of pavement, they have 100% open.
And is that the plan for the future? Is the front yard, the one facing the course,
facing Roxbury.
Facing Roxbury, is that, this is for Mr. Munoz, is that continued to be landscaped with lawn there?
Or absolutely.
Put in a driveway?
No. Facing Roxbury Lane is going to be just landscape. We are not planning to do any driveway.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Cement, did you have a question? Your hand's raised. I'm not sure if that was from before.
That was from before.
Okay, thank you. Do any other board members have any questions? I don't see any hands raised. Okay, great. Mr. City Attorney, is there anyone from the public that would like to speak?
I'm not seeing anyone from the public with their hands raised.
Great, thank you very much. And the applicant, is there anything further that you would like to say before I see if there's a motion?
No.
Okay, thank you. Is there a motion from any of the board? Would anyone like to move this matter? Mr. Barron.
I move that we accept variances 1, 2, and 3 with the subject to the proposed order.
Do I have a second, Mr. Goldberg?
Michael Goldberg, second.
Thank you, Mr. Goldberg. Call to vote, please.
Andres Acion?
Yes, and congrats on the design. It looks very nice, the landscaping as well as the architecture work.
Thank you.
Richard Barron?
Yes.
Yechiel Cement?
Yes.
Michael Goldberg?
Yes.
Joy Malikoff?
Yes.
James Orlowski?
Yes.
And Richard Siegel?
Yes. Having passed by unanimous consent, congratulations.
Thank you, everyone.
Staff, correct me if I'm wrong, and Mr. City Attorney, it seems as if that's the entire agenda for today as far as modifications and new applications. Am I correct?
That's correct.
That's correct.
Okay, is there any other business that needs to be addressed today, staff or Mr. City Attorney?
I'd just like to make a comment that there will be no meeting in August. The next meeting will be September 11th, which is the second Friday of September as opposed to the first Friday of September. Because the first Friday is part of a long weekend.
Great, so, and obviously you'll let us know at that time if we're continuing to proceed with Zoom.
Yes, we'll let you know. As of right now, the governor's executive order will expire prior to September, but it's likely that it'll be extended to allow these types of proceedings to continue.
Understood. Is there any other business from the board of anyone needs to say anything before I call for adjournment?
Mr. Chair, just wanted to congratulate you and Mr. Barron on your elections. It's certainly well-deserved.
Thank you very much, Mr. Olowski. Do I have a motion for adjournment?
I move second. But before so, I want to congratulate you, Richard, on running a great meeting.
Thank you very much. I look forward to having you by my side.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the board.
Okay. Thank you very much, everyone.
Take care.
You too.
All right.